Today is the last Sunday before Pentecost. You remember that in the church calendar, 40 days after the resurrection of the Lord, we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. And that was last Thursday. Then days after the resurrection will be the Sunday of the descent of the Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost Sunday. Our gospel reading does not follow the sequence of events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He already ascended into heaven, but our reading still continues to bring us back to the high prayer of Jesus during the Last Supper. This prayer of Jesus, which was said during his farewell discourse at the Last Supper, is also known as the Last Will and Testament, because it represents his provision for the disciples' needs on the eve of his death. This prayer gives us a glimpse of the heart of Jesus as he prepares to leave his loved ones. This prayer is a cry of the heart of love and a testament of faith. You know that last Sunday, Jesus was telling his disciples, "Okay, I am going away. But these are the things that you need to do." And one of the things that he wanted us to do was to love one another. And then he said, but this is not just any kind of love of one another. It is the love of one another as I have loved you. Now in this gospel reading that we have today, Jesus prays, "Holy Father, keep them through your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." This was the other thing that Jesus left his disciples. Unity among themselves and with God. Now, we have often heard, if not personally experienced, how our last will and testaments or parting words, even in the language of prayer, are considered so very precious that they are to be honored. I remember my father's last will and testament. You know, I still remember it as written on a page of an intermediate notebook about the piece of the farm that he left as inheritance to us, his 12 children. He said, "Use this farm. The one who is the poorest among you shall use this farm. And then it will go from one brother sister to the other, the years." And said, "If you decide to sell the farm, sell it first to your brother or to your sister if they have money. And if they do not have, then you can sell it to others who are interested." But that farm, because there are 12 of us, has been going from one brother or sister to the other. And believe it or not, it will be my turn in November. So we usually rent it out to farmers, and then if it is your turn, then you get the proceeds. you get the proceeds. But anyway, I'm just sharing you that that we tended to honor the last will and testament of our father. Very much in the same way that as Jesus left this last will and testament to his disciples, we should all try to honor it. So let us look more closely at this prayer of Jesus, his last will and testament. First and foremost, this prayer of Jesus is a prayer for unity. He prays that his present and future followers will be one. Father, I pray that they may all be one. As the gospel passage continues, it specifies the basis of this unity. The love, Jesus said, with which the Father loved me, may be in them, and I in them, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is to say that Jesus holds up his loving relationship to the Father as the model and foundation of this unity. This is the inward focus of the prayer of Jesus. Love for one another, modeled after the mutual love of the Father and the Son. This is the structuring principle of unity, the community of his followers. But this prayer of Jesus has also an outward focus. Jesus prays that this unity be a visible sign that the world will believe. So this unity is not only a sign, but also an instrument of unity, of bringing others to the faith. This then is the central message of Jesus' prayer, which sums up the essence of Christian mission, that we may become completely one, so that the world may know Jesus has sent us and has loved us even as the Father has loved his Son. Our mission statement also contains this dual focus. If you remember, our mission statement states that to know Christ and to make him known. We focus on ourselves knowing Christ in order to open ourselves to others. So how do we make this prayer, this last prayer, Jesus, real and operative in our life, in our church of Jesus our Savior? Let me suggest this double focus of our prayer, of our mission, as of our Savior. First, an inward focus, the building up of the inner life of our church community, to be one as the Father and Son are one. Spelled unity and fellowship. In the concrete, we are asked to take our church community life seriously through faithful Sunday attendance, our way of praying together, through generous stewardship of our time, our talents, and our treasures. This is sharing together. Through lifelong learning, such as Bible studies, learning together. Through services to one another, like driving others to church or doctor's appointments. And outreach, like the food pantry, the refurbished computers, serving one another. Secondly, an outward focus. For this church community of our Savior to become completely one, so that the world may know Jesus has sent us and has loved us even as the Father has loved the Son. In other words, the ultimate focus of Jesus' prayer is the effectiveness of our corporate witness to the world. Our unity is not an end in itself. It is a means so that we together might be a witness to the world, that they might believe, and so that they might know. This is our primary purpose for existing, that we as one body, as one family, are effective our witness to the world. So let this prayer of Jesus for us be our own prayer for one another. Let this prayer be lived out by us in visible ways, especially during this time of the coronavirus pandemic. By the way we take care of ourselves, of our families, and our church, a care that flows out to others, especially to others in need. Amen.